We serve a risen Savior. He is that bright and morning star. He is the root of Jesse. He is the branch. He is the shepherd. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the King that kings call King. He is the Lamb of God. I want us to think, what does that mean? Who is the Lamb of God? When we think about Jesus Christ, we can be overwhelmed by the sacrificial Savior on Calvary. We can be enthused, invigorated, and thrilled at the risen Lord of Easter. We can recognize that it was He who spoke the worlds into existence and acknowledge Him as our Creator. And as great and powerful and wonderful as all of those are, He is even more than that, because in addition to all of those wonderful things, He also was the very simple, little, innocent lamb. That's not my words. Those are the words that Scripture uses to describe Him, the words that we are told to see Him as the Lamb of God. In addition to His greatness, think of what it would mean. The Creator of all the universe would take on the role of a lamb. The Lamb is represented for us throughout Scripture, literally from the first book to the last. In Genesis 22, Abraham has Isaac with him. And God tells Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham is ready to do so. Scripture says he has the knife in the air, ready to sacrifice not just his son, but to sacrifice the one that was promised, the one that was to begin an entire nation and to unfold God's great redemptive plan. It all comes down to this one little boy. God says to sacrifice him. In obedience, Abraham sets aside all of his hopes and dreams, all of the promises. And in obedience, he prepares to sacrifice his own son. And in that moment, a voice says, "Stop." And they look over there, and in the bushes, there is the ram. Kill the lamb instead. And we get that picture of now the lamb being a substitute. Instead of taking Isaac's life, here's a lamb that you can use instead for the great offering. And the lamb becomes the substitute. In Exodus chapter 12, the people of God are enslaved in Egypt. And God is preparing the way to free His people. And in order to do that, He brings plagues upon Pharaoh and the people so that Pharaoh will finally submit. The final plague, after Pharaoh has rejected and rejected and rebelled, disobeyed and disobeyed, finally the final plague, God says that He's going to kill the firstborn of every house. But He doesn't want to send the one who brings death to His own people. And so He says, find a lamb. Make sure that it is a lamb that has no blemishes. Find the perfect lamb. And by the way, don't break its bones. But you take that perfect lamb and you slaughter it. And you put that blood on the doorpost, the top and both sides of the door, so that when the angel of death comes by, he sees that blood and he knows that people of God live here, and he passes over that house and goes to the next. It was a lamb that designated the places of Passover. It was the blood of the lamb that covered the family. And it was the perfect lamb that was chosen. In Leviticus, the law describes how people can pay for their sin. And the way that is done is a perfect lamb is brought to the temple. They would place their hands on the head of that lamb, thereby transferring their sin onto the lamb, and then that lamb was slaughtered, sacrificed. That lamb taking the sin from the people, being sacrificed, paid the penalty. It was what we might call atonement. Paid the penalty for that sin. Isaiah chapter 53 is a powerful section, a powerful passage that describes the sacrificial lamb of God. Listen to Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. The iniquity, that's sin. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall on him. That brought to mind, for these people, that brought to mind what they had already learned in Leviticus about how the sin is placed onto the lamb. Now Isaiah says, there's going to be a day when a Messiah is going to come and God is going to place onto him all of our sin. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. We go to the New Testament, and in John chapter 1, John the Baptist has led the way. Scripture told us that there would be one who would lead the way, the one who would come and say, make way for the Lord. And this was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, in many ways, was the New Testament, the New Testament prophet. And he stands in front of the people and sees Jesus coming. And when he sees Jesus coming, do you remember what he said? Go ahead and tell me if you remember. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming? Behold, the Lamb of God. Not, hey, here comes the carpenter. Here comes the teacher. Y'all listen up. This guy knows what he's talking about. How was Jesus first introduced to the people? The Lamb of God. That is by design, beloved. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is having a conversation. He comes across the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian is reading Old Testament scripture, and Philip says, hey, do you know what you're reading? The Ethiopian says, how can I know unless somebody explain it to me? So Philip said, well, let me see what you're reading. What are you looking at? He was looking into Isaiah 53 that talked about the sacrificial lamb. And Philip was able to say to him, I know who that's talking about. That's talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God. And he shares with him the gospel, and the man becomes a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 5, at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, at verse 7. Let me read that for you real quick. Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, for just as in fact you are unleavened. All right, now here's the part I want you to hear. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. So Paul jumps right into the line now of biblical authors, of those who teach us, and he agrees with everything that we've heard so far through Scripture, starting in Genesis. Now, even in Paul, he says, yes, Jesus is the Passover. He is the Lamb sacrificed for us. He is the perfect Lamb who becomes the substitute in atonement when his sin is put on, when our sin is put on him. And so then in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. You say you hadn't said anything about Revelation yet. Well, here we go. Revelation chapter 5. Jesus is in the midst of the throne. John looks into heaven and he sees the throne. And in John 5, Revelation 5 and 6, he says that Jesus is in the midst of the throne, surrounded by the four elders. There is the Lamb. He refers to Jesus as the enthroned Lamb. And then in Revelation 21, what a beautiful picture of heaven in Revelation 21. And in that powerful chapter, we see first in the early part of the chapter that it is the Lamb who reigns over heaven. And then the church, you and I, are referred to in that chapter as the bride of the Lamb. And then toward the end of the chapter, it makes it very clear that the only way to experience that firsthand, the only way to get to heaven and to see the enthroned Lamb and to see where he reigns, the only way to be a part of the bride of the Lamb is to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. From Genesis to Revelation, he is the Lamb of God. And so when we come to the table in just a moment, I want you to think about what that means, that he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb was always chosen as the, when they chose a lamb, they always chose the perfect one. It was required by Scripture that the lamb used in sacrifice would be without blemish. Jesus Christ, the only being who ever walked the face of the earth without sin. Completely perfect. Tempted in all ways as we, and yet he never sinned. Completely perfect and holy. We also see in these passages that the Lamb was not only perfect, but the Lamb was the substitute. The Lamb shed the blood that was necessary for forgiveness so the people could live. So when we come to the table, you remember it is the Lamb of God who gave his life that we might live. Not only was it the perfect lamb and a substitute, but it was an atonement. That word, for our meaning today, we say it just means that it paid for it. It fulfilled the penalty. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the only one who deserves to live, died. The Lamb of God, the only one who deserves to be honored, was humiliated. The Lamb of God paid the penalty that we should pay. He is the sacrificial, substitute atonement for us. When we come to the table this morning, remember the Lamb of God.